Hello, my name's Patrick, and I'm a Scream Queen. I'm a Scream Queen, and so are you! Actually, no. Not tonight, I'm not. Tonight, I am a Drama Queen! Now I know all you regular listeners of Scream Queens, the podcast where horror gets bent, just had a small heart attack. It's okay. This is an experiment. I've been talking about it for a while. Welcome to the very first experimental episode of Drama Queens, the podcast where theater gets bent. Now, that sounds kind of redundant, doesn't it? Like, a gay horror podcast, that's one thing, but a gay theater podcast? That's original. Well, shush your mouth. Just relax. Hopefully, I'll be able to make the New York theater scene as entertaining to all of you as I do the horror movie scene. And if not, well, I'm going to make it a separate venture. So, my partner, Mr. Brad, and I, on Scream Queens, we would often talk about unusual things that would happen around New York in addition to horror movies. You know, things like haunted houses or unusual plays that fit the genre, like Evil Dead the Musical, or even to an extent Wicked, or more offbeat things like things from The Fringe and such like that. And I got a knowing little nudge from a certain casting director out there. It's great when you talk about theater. Why don't you talk about theater some more? And I took the next step and said, why don't we do a whole spin-off sort of a show? Keep the brand going with the Z at the end, because it is Drama Queens with a Z, if you haven't learned that already. Anyway, enough of my babbling. I'm going to be joined tonight by my special guest, a very talented actress named Elena Acker, who I am currently starring with in The Ryan Case, 1873, presented by LiveInTheater.com. Although, tonight, what we're going to be talking about is the current production of Sleep No More at the McKittrick Hotel, put on by the Punch Drunk Theater Company out of jolly old England. That'll be a nice tie-in for you Scream Queens out there, because, you know, you've heard about Sleep No More already on the show, and you know it's spooky and eerie and gory and sexy. Yeah, it's also Shakespeare, sort of. So, buckle up, campers. It's all gonna, it might be a bumpy ride, but you'll be okay. And also, we're gonna be talking about a musical that Elena had starred in this past summer called Mother Eve's Divine Garden of Sensual Sisterhood, I think. It's a very long title, and I continually get it wrong, and we talk about that later on. And, yeah, but it's closed, Patrick. Yes, but they just did a cast recording, and they're trying to breathe new life and get it out there in regional theater. And those of you out there who have the power to make that happen, there's some songs from here I think you should hear. Anyway, enough of my talking. Let's get on with the show. But first, we can't do anything unless we plug ourselves, now can we? So sit back, relax, and enjoy a promo for The Ryan Case, 1873, starring myself and Miss Elena Acker. And we'll be back in a minute.
Can you solve the Ryan case? The dead of night, 1873. A scream, a cry of murder. Two innocent people slain, and a killer never found. But that's where you come in. The Ryan Case, 1873, is an interactive murder mystery where you are the detective. Time Out New York calls it CSI in the 1870s. For more information or to order tickets, visit www.liveintheater.com or call 212-780-4787.
Okay, so for this inaugural episode of Drama Queens with a Z, I am sitting here with a very special lady who is very near and dear to my heart. And, well, gosh darn it, I just can't wait to introduce her. So I'm just going to do it right now, okay? Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, may I present to you Miss Elena Acker!
She walks by, me and folks getting close. Can't help it, girl, can't help it. If she winks an eye, the brass lights turn the tone.
Hello, everyone. It's so great to be here.
Well, you're very brave.
Oh, you know me. I will never avoid a challenge. I like to dive right in.
Atta girl. Okay, so what are we going to be talking about today, Elena?
Well, we will be talking about an amazing, incredible theater experience, theater installation. I don't know even exactly how to classify it, but Sleep No More at the McKittrick Hotel.
See, I'm glad you put it that way, because I tossed that to you for a reason, because I have no idea how to describe the damn thing. It's so complicated and so simple at the same time. Anyway, so who the hell are you, Elena?
Well, I would love to tell you about myself. I am an actress and performer. I have the pleasure of performing every Saturday in the Ryan Case 1873 with Mr. Patrick K. Walsh. So that's
Yes. I enjoy. Well, we're married in the show.
Yeah.
But it ain't for love. I enjoy sniping with her every week.
Exactly. It's fun. We come up with brilliant new ways to insult one another just about every time. Yep.
And they always hurt, Elena. You always hurt me.
I know, but it's something I like to call tough love, and you're just going to have to suck it up and deal.
Okay, right, so then. So, hateful. Okay, so I've already talked about Sleep No More on my other show, which is, you know, Scream Queens, of course. And I figured I wanted to get an actor's view of it as well, you know, because me and Brad were drunk and talked about it. And it wasn't really classy.
Okay, so you came to me for the class? Uh-oh.
No. What, are you drunk?
No.
We're already like three steps above where we were.
Yes, before. Okay.
And by the way, I don't know if you've listened to Scream Queens. You can feel free to cuss all you want because I have potty mouth.
I too suffer from that affliction, so.
Yes, I know. That's why I love you, darling.
Twice on Sundays, isn't that what you always say?
That is what I say. Twice on Sundays. All right. So how'd you find out about Sleep No More?
I found out about it from you, actually, for the very first time.
Oh, that's right, because he yelled at me for saying Macbeth backstage.
Yes, that's right. Even you saying that while I'm in my apartment, like, maybe for a second, it's ridiculous. But that's right.
I can wait if you need to go outside and spin around a few times and spit or whatever it is you do.
Yeah, no, it's fine. I mean, as much as my bedroom is my personal theater, it's okay. oh dear. No, but you were chatting about it backstage, and yeah. I thought to myself, this sounds amazing. But actually, that wasn't quite enough to inspire me to definitely go. It was that like a couple days later.
Yes.
I was then at a friend's house. And I overheard two people talking about it who I didn't know. And I just had to like butt into their conversation. And I was like, are you talking about Sleep No More? And they were like, yes, it's amazing and wonderful. And I was like, oh, my friend was just saying that the other day. So it seemed like I just kept hearing about it all over the place. So I had to go check it out.
So you're saying you don't trust me is what you said.
Basically.
You shouldn't. I am a sneaky individual myself. Yeah. For those of you who don't know what the hell we're talking about, Sleep No More is an imported production from London, I believe, from the Punch Drunk Theater Company. And as I warned my Scream Queens audience, what I'm about to say is going to turn you off. It's a production of Macbeth. But it's not. And you can feel free to jump in because I'm going to have trouble describing this.
Well, it is, but it's not completely. It's sort of, I mean, what can you say? It's Shakespeare meets like urban exploration almost meets like, I don't know. Essentially they've taken this old abandoned hotel and it has been designed amazingly in sort of a 1940s style roughly, but also just an insane sort of surrealist thing going on.
Yeah, as I said with Mr. Brad, I said, because every hotel has a graveyard on the third floor.
Totally, yeah.
Totally.
Most of them and they all have forests up on the fourth floor.
On the fourth floor with mazes.
And most of them feature like an entire, you know, area full of semi-off-putting taxidermied animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the design is the first thing that's just amazing. And one of the great things about it is that you are encouraged to touch and look and do, you know, whatever you want. So you can look in all of the drawers. You can look through the papers that are around. There are like typewriters. You could type on them or look at what's been typed there.
Never mind. sorry to interrupt. But for those of you who might be confused, like what are you talking about? You can just walk up on stage and mess with stuff? No. It's not a play exactly. Like Elena said, it's an experience. It's almost like a haunted house, attraction. You know, it's dark corridors and you're free to go wherever you want on these four or five floors of the hotel. The performers are sporadically dispersed all around you. And when I say they're performing Macbeth, they're not, because there's almost no dialogue. And when it is, it's usually just a very few people. You're muttering and things like that. And the performers are all dancers and performance artists themselves. So it's a surrealistic, dreamlike, nightmarish version of Macbeth. And the story you get depends on who you follow.
Yeah, that's absolutely it. So, I mean, I would argue that there is a bit of a narrative thread that goes through it.
There is a narrative thread. The narrative thread depends on where you go.
Absolutely.
You may not see certain parts of the story. You may not see any of the story if you're really unlucky, but...
Mm-hmm. It really depends. I actually went to it twice because I loved it that much.
You did what?
Yeah, I went twice. It's expensive,
You're living large, girl.
I am either that or I ramen for a week so that I could go to it twice. You decide which one you think is true. But the first time I spent a lot of time really like exploring the space, and the second time I just thought to myself, I am going to make these quick decisions and follow, whichever performer seems like the one to follow. Because as you mentioned, basically if you stay in a room for long enough, somebody will come in there. One of the actors will come in there. And the way that you know that it's them is that the whole audience has to wear these sort of creepy masks. So the actors are, of course, in costume, but you might not notice them at first, except that they make these very energetic entrances.
Yes, and do surreal things like dance with a tree on wheels.
Yeah, they dance with a tree or jump in and out of a window.
Have a blood orgy with a dead baby and a goat head.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, that happens. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it's probably not another patron.
Yeah, probably not. The one wearing the giant crazy... like, I don't know, bullhead a la season 2 of True Blood. Yeah, that's probably not a patron.
I hope not. So Elena had mentioned the masks. It's strange at first. You're like, why are we wearing these masks? But I found as I walked through it, they advertise it as the haunted hotel. But I started to realize we're the ghosts.
Yeah.
Not so much the performers. We're always around. We're seeing everything that's going on. Sometimes they see us. Sometimes they don't. And so that frees you up, as they say, when you go in, and they say repeatedly, fortune favors the brave. Take a risk, follow your gut, try something on, roll around on a bed if you'd like to, Elena Acker.
Oh, that is absolutely right. Yeah, one of really memorable experiences from my first time there was when I just decided that I would go off on my own and not follow any of the actors. And I went down to like sort of the basement or the first floor, somewhere down there.
Yeah. I don't ask me where anything was.
Yeah. The second time it was much easier to find my way around. The first time it was like extremely disorienting, which was also part of what was amazing about it is that I was just sort of like, where am I? It really does feel like a crazy dream.
Yeah. I had that nightmarish thing where I kept winding up in the same place. No matter what stair I took, I wound up in the same place, which was annoying, but I had that nightmare.
Yeah, so there you were. That's what it was. I think one of the keys to enjoying this, by the way, is that you really have to sort of make peace with whatever the experience is for you. It's easy to hear about what other people saw or did, sort of feel jealous. And what you need to do is just decide that, like, it was what it was supposed to be for you.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that first time I go way down into the bowels of this hotel, and there was this bed. It was kind of like a bunch of pillows on a floor with a canopy over it. And I was like, ooh, that looks kind of cool. So I just, went and lay down there and sort of rolled around. And I was like, ooh, this bed is fun. Whatever, I can do what I want.
This is my hotel.
It's my hotel. Exactly. This is my fancy fluffy bed. And then I left there. And I think because I was following someone, I went to a few other places, saw a few other interesting sort of scenelets or vignettes or whatever you would call them. And then I ended up following the king, and I watched the king get killed right on the bed where I had just been rolling around.
One that kind of looked like an army tent
thing.
Okay.
Like
I saw that was the one person I saw get killed.
All right. But it just, and then I was like, oh, and there's blood everywhere and there's this. And it just was so I was like, hey, that's my bed. Like, what are you guys doing there?
I hope you didn't leave fingerprints, Elena.
Oh,
no, they're not coming to get you.
Scary ghost people,
Yeah, but
bloody.
one of the things I have to agree with you with is that I was trying to hint at before is that the experience you have, whatever experience it is, you have, nobody else had it. Like the story that you found is yours. So you can go and say, oh, I saw this, I saw that, but you didn't see this and you didn't do that. You didn't feel this when I was rummaging through drawers and found dildos and syringes.
Right. I didn't, for instance, I did not find the dildos and syringes.
I was in the
I
hospital.
totally missed that
I was in the
part.
hospital. I opened a drawer, I saw them, and I closed the drawer. I'm like, okay, this is that kind of a
I'm like,
hospital.
all right, that's fine. Don't need to touch
We
those.
don't get that at the La Quinta. I just got a Gideon Bible. Now, you told me something interesting that when you saw it the second time, the cast, the actors were the same, but they were in different parts.
Yes, absolutely. That at least
Was
for the
that
most part they
disorienting?
were the same. It was a little disorienting. It was just, I mean, I didn't really know what to expect any. I mean, I knew kind of what to expect because I had been there before, but I didn't really know, if it would be the same cast or a different cast. So I didn't find it disorienting, but it was, I mean, it was maybe a little bit jarring at first because the first time I had followed this nurse and I thought she was kind of cool, so I was like, maybe I'll follow the nurse this second time.
You mean
And then
Mrs.
the nurse,
Danvers?
yeah.
Totally Mrs. Danvers. Yes, please continue. Sorry.
But no, totally. But she was then a different person the second time. So, that
She's
it
in
made the whole thing
disguise.
different. Yeah, I was like, oh, well, the nurse from last time, now she's wearing this glamorous dress. And so, I mean, that also made it really interesting. And another thing that's interesting about the show is I found out that actually every little storyline or every character's actions,
Yes.
I guess that would be the best way to describe them, as like their course of action actually is repeated three times
Yes.
throughout your time there. So,
Yes, my friend Josh turns out to be one of those guys who stands around and says, shh, and tells you don't go down there and don't go down there. He told me that too,
Okay.
that certain things happen at certain times, and if you stand in one place long enough, you'll see what you just missed.
Yes.
Which is why when I saw it, I kept seeing, I guess it was Lady Macduff, the pregnant one. Is that who that was
Yep,
supposed to be?
that's Macduff. Yep. Lady
Getting
Macduff.
poisoned about 150 times.
Oh,
That
yeah.
was the room I kept winding back in. I'm like, don't drink the poison.
Yeah, you're like,
Don't
seriously,
drink
don't.
that. It does not end well.
Did
At times
you
I have to tell
wonder?
you.
I have to say, like, as an actor myself, I of course would never want to like disrupt the show because I know, how annoying that would be if I
Oh,
were in the shoes of an actor. But did you kind of wonder, what would happen if you, I guess if you talk, then they tell you to quiet down. But I did sort of get curious, what happens if I kind of mess with the actors a little
If you
bit?
like ripped your clothes off and joined in the blood orgy,
Right. Yeah. And I mean, I
or
didn't
just crawled into
react
bed
that way. Yeah, exactly.
with the Macbeths while they're having their sex scene, like, excuse me, hey, what's going on?
Exactly.
Hi, y'all.
There's definitely a lot of nudity, I got to see some quality schlong. It's pretty tasteful, but it's also kind of in your face.
I got on that loop too. I kept seeing Macbeth in the tub. Like,
Yeah.
oh, he's naked
So
again. I don't mind this loop.
he's naked. I'm cool here. Yeah, exactly. You can show me that. But exactly, then they crawl into the bed after he's in the tub, and I'm like, yeah, what would happen if I just like got in there?
It's cold in here.
And so I didn't do that, but there was a moment where I was following around the orderly or the doctor guy
Oh,
for a while.
Dr. Legs.
Yeah, Dr. Legs.
He was crazy.
He
I
was
forgot
crazy.
about him.
Because he was like reading some runes or something at first, and I was like, this seems like it's going somewhere. And then I saw him have this weird love story with the nurse.
Oh.
It was like this beautiful music, and they were on either side of these hedges, which are in the foresty maze thing way
Yes.
on the top floor.
With the sticks.
Yeah, with the sticks. And the random taxidermied wolf or whatever it is that's just at a random spot in
It's
there.
totally Holiday Inn. Everyone
Yeah.
has it. Yeah,
Absolutely. I know.
it's
I
so
get angry
80s.
when I go to the Holiday Inn and there aren't any taxidermied animals in my room. I mean, that's what I thought was part of, like usually you get the bottle of shampoo and then the taxidermied animal. That's, what I
Maybe a mint.
expect. Yes. anyhow, they had, it was like they were separated by the weird twiggy hedge, and then they finally found each other and they did this dance, and she was going to come with him through this window, but then she changed her mind. And then she ran away and welcomed like one person into this weird hut.
And it's that hut thing. Yeah, I saw her take somebody in there and I dove at the window and she closed it. I was like, oh, I wanted to see if I would be allowed to peep. Because that's the other thing that's interesting. Some people get singled out.
Yeah.
For special moments.
Mm-hmm. And I was definitely, I was a little bit bummed at that point because I was right next to the person that she chose to take in there. Yeah. But anyway, I was following the doctor and he had all of these wet clothes from the room with all of the bathtubs. And he was like hanging them up on a clothesline. So then I just decided that I would start taking them down behind him.
Good for you.
So I did that a little bit. And as it turns out, that, you know, didn't change anything. It's not like he came back and put them back up or anything. But
right.
I just sort of wanted to see, you know, how much control do I have over this environment? And as they say, fortune favors the bold. So I thought I would be a little bold.
Yeah. I did some similar things. When I saw it was in the summer and it was hotter than hell, you know, with the masks and running up and down the stairs, and I was wearing my Skechers tone-ups.
Oh, geez.
So my legs were like, So at one point I stumbled across the bar and I said, you know what? I'm going to have a cocktail. I'm going to listen to the lounge singer for a while. Chill out. Take this mask off. And so after I had a cocktail, I was in a very different mood walking through the house. And I really got into the ghost aspect of it and like the sensual aspect of it and just feeling ethereal and being able to manipulate things in the rooms. Not just explore, but like, for example, there was a bar station sort of thing, or a lab station. I don't remember exactly what the room was supposed to be, but that's where the nurse stopped and she mixed up the concoction to give to Lady Macduff.
Right.
I'd seen that earlier in the day, but she wasn't there at the time. However, all of her things were. All of her potions and powders and things like that. And I'm looking at the stuff in the, the mortar and pestle in the mortar. Mm-hmm. I said, that looks good. So I started tasting things. I'm like, minty. And then this was chocolatey and this was strawberry. I'm like, this is great. A little like, no, not disturbing anything, but just little fingerfuls. And of course I got paid back. Because along the walls, there were mail slot type of things. And in each mail slot, there was a pile of white powder with a little sign of with something indecipherable on it. And I went and like stuck my finger in there and got two fistfuls of the powder. I stuck it in my mouth. I'm like, salt. But I had stumbled across that doctor dude. He was in this room, very, very small room with a surgical table.
Right.
That had, you know, stairs around it like a surgical theater. And, you know, all this writing and chalk on the walls. And he came in and he did this most amazing dance. I don't know what you would call it, but he was just spinning on the table and just very, very strange. This amazing, almost, almost Bill Irwin-like movement style. And it was hypnotic and strange. And I was leaning, I was on the top of the theater, you know, looking down over him. And I got really into that. I'm a ghost and I'm watching and now I'm going to cock my head like that and look curious. It's very silly, but that's what I experienced. So...
Yeah, the audience are all actors in a way, and wearing the masks, not only does it sort of separate us from the actors, like the actors, and sort of keep us in line in a way, I think, and all of that, but it is really freeing. And that dance was amazing. It's interesting because I saw the nurse do that dance the first time I was there.
Okay.
And the second time it was not the nurse, but it was the doctor guy, and it was a very similar dance. I actually, when I saw the nurse do it, I named it the bedbug dance. in my mind, this is what it was named.
Okay.
Because it was sort of like different parts of her body had a mind of their own and she was trying to sort of get them under control.
Yeah, that's what it was like. But the guy I saw was so tall and gangly. He was all arms and legs.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like his body was out of control, but it was something different. I mean, this is not going to mean anything to you, but it was very Evil Dead 2 for any of you from Scream Queens who are listening.
Oh, I know all about Evil Dead. I am a fan of Evil Dead, Army of Darkness, Evil Dead the musical. I know it all.
But it was reminding me of when, in a larger scale of when Ash is fighting with his hand.
Yeah, when his hand, exactly, is possessed. And that's exactly what it was like. And when I saw him do it, it definitely felt like it had more of that feel of like, oh crap, my leg is like trying to kill me and I have to, you know, get it under control or
Or I was either thinking that, or I'm like, or he took something really bad. Which is entirely possible in this story. I mean, it's serious acid.
Yeah, exactly. This man is not okay. But when the nurse lady did it, she was like a very, you know, petite dancery woman. Everyone in this show is like completely ripped, which is interesting because they're walking around in their clothes and you don't always notice that. Like when they're not naked, some of them, you know, they look sort of like a normal, just rather like thin person. And then you see them dance, you know, then they start having like a crazy fight dance on the pool table. I don't know if you saw that, but.
No, I didn't see that.
Well, there was a crazy fight dance with like four people playing cards in the billiard game room, and then they have like a mega crazy dance fight.
Oh,
it's funny,
we got trouble.
Yeah, right here
at the McKittrick.
Yes. Surely trouble, because when I came into that room for that section, there all of the crowd control people in their black masks were like, you know, without speaking, trying to get all of us to move back. But there were a lot of people who had come into that room, and they're just like, you know, their gestures basically were saying to me, seriously, seriously, move back.
Yeah.
You know, but there's no room. And they're like, no, seriously, move the fuck back. Like, you will be glad that you did. And they were right about this, because I would have definitely been like kicked in the face.
Yeah.
if we hadn't moved back as far as we could.
This is Sleep No More, I'm Not Spider-Man. Thank you.
Yeah, exactly. No. Yeah. I don't think there have been any lawsuits yet with any of this, or any broken ribs in the hospital yet. So going back to Dr. Legs and his dance, when I saw the nurse do it, it was almost like she was like doing a crazy dance on the table. And then she would like look at a part of her arm, and it to me it was like, you know, she's like, ah, a bed bug bite, and then she's like, you know, doing a crazy dance on the table, and then she's like, another one, ah, crazy dance on the table, because she would just sort of stop and like pick at a tiny thing on her skin and then do it more.
That is so New York City of you.
Yep, I can't help it. I'm terrified of them. That my nightmare would definitely include bed bugs, so it makes sense that
Brad's the same way. I can just sneak up behind him and say bed bugs, and he's like, ah,
like, hey, too. Yeah, it's not funny.
He's all be itching for the next 20 minutes. So I think we've talked a lot about this. I hope we make this sound as interesting as possible, because it is a not to be missed experience. I'm not sure I'll put this in later. I was going to put the address and where to find it and the dates. I heard it might have extended again.
Yeah. Well, as far as I know, it's definitely through November. I heard some sort of rumor that it's through next May. In reality, the people there denied that rumor.
Okay.
But
I just saw auditions for it in Backstage like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Not to mean that they're just looking for replacements for 2 weeks, but.
No. I saw those too, and actually. One of our compadres in the Ryan case got an audition slot there.
Really? Who?
James.
Oh, he's a dancer.
Yeah. Well, no, but they were looking for actors with movement background as well.
Oh, okay.
As
okay. Well, he's nice and lanky for that sort of thing.
Yeah, anyway, exactly. I was like, you look wavy, just like everybody there.
Yes. Okay. Now we're back on.
Yes.
Okay. So to wrap up, I would like to know, of your two visits there, what was the most amazing or unusual thing you saw, and also the freakiest?
Wow. I mean, that's really, really hard to say what was the most amazing, because as I mentioned before, the first time I spent a lot of time, you know, exploring the space, and I really enjoyed that, and I really enjoyed being lost there and not really knowing where I was. Mm-hmm. And that time being, you know, rolling on the bed and then watching someone get killed there 10 minutes later, that was definitely a highlight. As far as the freakiest thing, I mean, definitely the blood orgy room was pretty freaky, with the nakedness and the daggers and the daggers
and
the
dead baby and the techno.
Yeah, and the dead baby and the techno. I mean, another really cool moment was when I saw the whole thing with the love story with the doctor and the nurse. I ran into it a second time later, and I was like, ooh, maybe this time I'll get to go in the hut. And this time the nurse didn't go to the hut. Instead, the nurse and the doctor went into a room and like put a teddy bear to bed in a crib, and they were like rocking the teddy bear in the crib. And that definitely
eerie
was kind of, you know, freaky, yet yet interesting.
Weird. Did you get to see any of the mirror work that they did? Brad did. I didn't. And I've read about it since.
Yes. Yes, I did. That was extremely freaky as well. The second time through, I was in a room. It was like a little bedroom. Like it was decorated kind of like a child's bedroom.
Yes.
And then one of the other audience members pointed to the mirror for me to look. And I looked in the mirror. And in the mirror, there was a giant blood spot in the middle of the bed, which was absolutely not there when you looked at the bed or touched the bed. So there were a lot of wonderful little sort of nuanced, you know, subtle touches like that that made it freaky and rewarded the careful observer.
Yes. Brad had told me that he was in the hospital area where they had the rows and rows of tubs. Did you get to that part?
No.
Okay. Sorry, they just said very creepy. It was rows and rows of beds. And then in the next room over, it was rows and rows of tubs.
Oh yes. No, I did go to both of those areas.
Okay. Well, he said in the last tub, there was in the water was a dead naked woman. Thought it wasn't real because she was under the water. But as it got closer, he's like, no, that's a real person. Then all of a sudden the nurse came and pulled the cover over the tub and walked away. But when you looked in the mirror, you saw a whole bloodbath.
Oh my
in
gosh.
The tub, butchered body and all that other stuff. So,
wow. I missed that, but that is pretty freaky. And I guess the freakiest thing that I actually did see was I was in some room and I was looking at the papers there. It was near where the hospital beds were, near where those tubs were.
Uh-huh.
And, it looked like they were real missing persons reports for like children.
I saw that.
From long, long ago.
I saw that.
Had been typed out.
Yeah,
and I
that
definitely
detective's office
found
like
that
thing.
Very, very disturbing because, yeah. I mean, if they weren't real, then there was a lot of care put into that. But if they were real, then it was just very, very kind of disturbing.
There was I found a lot of children's stuff when I started going through drawers. There was I think I mentioned to you at the show that I had gone through, I was in some office. I don't know what kind of an office it was, but I was going through the drawers and it was just filled with pictures of kids with, you know, the eyes poked out or, you know, X'd out or heads cut off and stuff like that. It was very creepy. So my addition to the show was there was a typewriter on the desk. So I took one of the pictures out of a little girl with her eyes cut out and I rolled it through and the typewriter worked. So I typed Eskimo across her face as a chick, Heathers, the movie Heathers.
Yes. Love it. Oh my God. I love
and
that.
And I left it there. I left it in the roller. So someone's going to come by and be like, Eskimo.
Wow. Yeah, totally.
But it's part of the story now.
It is. Exactly. That's the great thing. You can kind of leave your mark. You do participate in this story and no one will ever have the same story or the same experience there twice. You know, it's when I was like a teenager growing up in Detroit, we used to explore abandoned buildings for fun because
that's
what you do when you live in a wasteland.
Right.
but this kind of reminded me of that. There's something really beautiful about how kind of creepy and strange it all is. And the fact that you feel like a voyeur in a lot of ways or like a ghost, like you were saying.
Yeah. I heard it described as like you're walking through someone else's dream, which is true because like this, it's also just like a mix of film genres. It's got a film noir feel to it, but it's also got some Kubrick influences and Hitchcock and
mm-hmm.
Who's the other one? David Lynch, all mixed together like they had a baby and smoked crack.
Like they had a baby and the baby smoked crack.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, there are funny moments too. Like I definitely. There's a part where Lady Macbeth arrived like in the hotel lobby and she was doing something and then the porter just started looking through her stuff and like stole a letter out of her stuff and put it all back together. And then she turned around and he like, you know, sort of hit it behind his back like, I didn't do anything. And it just, you know, it cracked me up in the middle of all the ridiculousness. There were...
That's funny.
Definitely times.
He's going to get gutted like a fish and, you know, all because you giggled and gave him away.
Maybe so. Yeah.
Oh, well.
I had a hard time with the whole being quiet thing too, because I tend to react to things verbally. So I'd be like, holy shit. Oh, I'm not allowed to talk. Or
yeah. When I would find myself by myself, I'd start chattering and be like, what the fuck am I? Okay. Wait, no, I've been here before. And someone could buy a
Yeah.
My funny story that I liked about this, you know, I was staying with Brad for the most part because Brad is my partner, for those who haven't listened before. And his eyes are not, at the time, were not great. He's had laser surgery since, but he doesn't do dark well. Dark to light gets him very anxious. So, you know, when it got really dark, I would, you know, put my hands back and he would grab on. No, just so we can find a way through. And at some point we got separated. But the thing was, I didn't know it because, you know, he had gone one way and I had gone another way, but I reached behind me and grabbed what I thought was his hand and walked around for a good 10 minutes before I turned around and realized it wasn't him. But whoever was, let me do it. Because that's the kind of joint the McKittrick is.
That's right. Because, yeah, I mean, yeah, that kind of sums it up right there.
Uh-huh. Anything goes. Fortune favors the bold.
So, yeah, I mean, I guess our discussion of this has been a little bit scattered, but I also think that's kind of the nature of the experience. You know, you're over here, you're over there. You can choose to follow someone or go to a different floor, and then it ends up being this sort of patchwork quilt of an experience or whatever story it ends up being.
That's an excellent way to put it.
For you.
Yeah, because I've actually read other reviews and I've seen other people try to do like video blogs about it. And the written reviews just don't really tell you anything.
Yeah.
Which is fine. They just tell you how amazing it is. And that's fine for two paragraphs. But these video blogs, most of them have just come out and they're squawking like birds. Like, and then this was a guy and the woman was like, whoop, 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 at the door. And then this guy had a door and he was dancing with the door. And then he dropped the door off the thing. And then the door got up on its own. And then they had a feast with boobs.
They had a feast with boobs.
I think that'll wrap it up for Sleep No More. We're going to play a little music. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about your show.
Your curves and you're looking kind of frumpy. The women of history are bound to get grumpy. Show your feminist ass and your sexy skin, cause when you dress like a nun, then the terrorists win. Yay! All the women who gave the man a cake in the butt, we're fighting for your right to dress like a slut.
We're fighting for your right to dress like a slut. We're fighting for your right to dress like a slut.
Well, I'm walking down the street, I'm thinking they'd be proud, cause I'm showing off my lady parts, I'm drawing a crowd. Here's Maya Angelou, gives me a high five, cause I'm bare in my midriff and I'm showing some thigh. My skirt's no wider than a belt.
Right on, says Eleanor Roosevelt.
Right on, says Eleanor Roosevelt. Right on, says Eleanor Roosevelt. They fought for the right to dress like a lady of the night. In the daytime, yo. They fought for the right to dress like a lady of the night. In the daytime, ho.
You got your stripper shoes, well that freedom ain't free. I gotta thank Jane Austen and Sue B. Anthony. So go ahead, girl, you dress like a whore. Do Hillary proud, and even the score. Ain't no time to be a woman hater. You rock the tacky like a Russian figure skater.
Rock the tacky like a Russian figure skater. Rock the tacky like a Russian figure skater. They fought for the right to dress like a lady of the night. In the daytime sun.
When you dress like a nun, the terrorists win one. So don't do that.
No, don't do that.
They fought for the right.
Okay, and we're back with Elena Agger, world-famous actress. Mm-hmm. Now, you just had a show at the, was it the New York Music Festival? Musical Theater Festival?
No, it was the Midtown International Theater Festival. There are so many festivals. There are.
At the same time.
It's a land of festivals, this yes. New York. Yes, so I was just in Mother Eve's Secret Garden of Sensual Sisterhood, the mother of all rock musicals. Try to say that five
times.
That's
a really long title.
Yeah, try to remember it. I think that's kind of the point, is that it's, people are like, you know, were you in that mother, the sister, the sensual, whatever? I'm like, yes.
Yes.
I actually had someone stop me on the street, and it was funny. Because there's in the show, there's a gesture that everybody does.
I love that gesture.
Yeah, it's like you make a heart over what is called your vertical bacon sandwich. I think you can imagine what that would be. And then you sort of let it go to the world. And someone stopped me on the street and said, hey, were you in the show with the, and then just did that gesture at me. And I was like, yes, I was.
We do that all the time. Mr. Brad and I were like, divinely gusto. Because yes. I'm going to put it in a cruder fashion because Elena's a classy broad. Basically, you make a heart with your fingers. You put it over your vagina. You say, divinely and with gusto. And you release it out into the world, just basically taking your vagina and throwing it on the person in front of you.
That's right. You throw your vagina love to whomever happens to be around. You just let it fly.
Now, what was the basic story of this show?
Well, it is about a self-help guru who sort of christens herself Mother Eve. And she goes out into Central Park passing out her flyers and gets a motley crew of women with issues to come join her self-help class. And through various sort of unorthodox exercises, and of course through song and dance, all of these women are able to sort of actually improve their lives, even though everything is kind of cuckoo. And there's a guy named Practice Guy who is an actor that Mother Eve has recruited who stands in for all of the men in these women's lives when they need to, you know, talk to their daddy or talk to their boyfriend or whatever. And there's, of course, a twist at the end, which I won't reveal. But it's a lot of fun. It's very, you know, sort of empowering. And I think there's a lot that women and other, you know, men as well can relate to in this show.
I saw the show. I loved it, as you know. And for those who are listening, this is how bad a day it was. It was 900,000 degrees, and we got there late. It was very crowded, and Brad dehydrated. I'm running around trying to find a bottle of water. Now, the theater's on the fourth floor of this building, and the bar's all the way down on the first floor, and it's like this series of locked doors and elevators that don't go to the right place. So I'm hustling to get back, and it must have taken me 25 minutes to get there. He's still freaking out. He'd gotten a wet nap from somebody. But so when we sat down to see the show, neither one of us were in a good mood. By the time it was over, I looked at Brent and said, I didn't want this to end.
Oh.
It was so, so funny and sweet and charming. Now, it's based on a web series, though, isn't it?
Yes, that is absolutely correct. So the web series is sort of based on the same premise. But the web series came first. It employed a lot of the same actors. And you can see the whole web series at www.mothereves, so MOTHEREVES.com, if you're interested in checking out some of the music, some of the characters that were also part of the musical. So yeah, it's based on the web series. The plot sort of got developed in a different way. And of course, you know, something that's an episodic is going to be different when it becomes sort of a full piece on its own.
Sure.
And there's new music added and stuff like that. But yeah, it's based on a web series. We're hoping that we'll get to perform this show again and that maybe people at theaters in other areas would also be interested in performing it as well.
Well, you guys just recorded a demo for it, didn't you?
We absolutely did.
I'm asking like I don't know because I just played one of the songs before we came in.
Unleash Your Inner Skank.
Unleash Your Inner Skank.
Or as we call it, the Skank Rap.
The Skank Rap. Yes. So as you can see, the thing that I was struck with too, that even though the songs are silly like that, Mother Eve's advice actually turns out to be really good. After every song, I'm like, you know what? She's right.
Mm-hmm.
Totally, totally right. But yet it was still funny and never preachy. And I thought that was awesome. You guys are hoping to do it again. Do you think it might have legs in regional theater?
I think it really could.
Would it be weird to see somebody else doing the role that you, this character that you developed?
I think it's something that people would, you know, it would be weird, definitely, because I did, you know, I'm a co-creator of this project. So So it is definitely a character that I came up with on my own. And then our wonderful writers did, you know, a lot to give the character more of a storyline and all of that. But it is, yeah, it would be strange to see somebody else playing Rhododendron, but you know, that's something I could live with. But we'll see. We're interested in trying to produce it perhaps as part of other festivals mm-hmm. or maybe at another venue. I do hope and look forward to, I hope that I will be able to / look forward to playing the role again because it's a lot of fun. I mean,
and it's your baby.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great to be able to get to make up your own thing and then do it. So yeah, it's definitely my baby. And I mean, it's, there's definitely a lot of me in Rhododendron. I don't think I'm quite as frumpy, dumpy, or lumpy as she is, but
hardly.
But it's a lot of fun, and I like being able to. I mean, I bring myself to every role, but it's one where I really, you know, from the beginning, got to be part of the creation.
Sure, sure. I have to confess, I haven't seen all of the web series. I've seen like 4 or 5 of them. Was there music in the web series too?
Yeah, it's, well, every episode of the web series ends with a song. So, seen it, you have seen a song.
I have seen it. Well, I saw the Pussy Pussy one.
Right, so that one is only a song. Well, it's,
I guess
it's
it is. I guess you're
polka.
Right.
Pussy. If you want to know what I'm talking about, audience, you just need to go to the website and click on the episode Pussy. It's number 4, I believe. But anyhow,
What did your mother say after she watched that video?
Well, my mom came to our premiere of the web series, which was at Tribeca Cinemas. And after seeing the whole thing, she said, you know, wow, that was funny. And she was just like, you know, I'm a little old fashioned, you know, I don't think I need to hear that word again for the rest of my life. I believe. So she was okay with it. You know, she's seen me do a lot of stuff on stage, and she is, thank God, a very open-minded, wonderful person. But she definitely is like, that's not, you know, that's a little bit risque for me, but whatever.
There was a lot of it.
There was.
Once or twice definitely. Is okay.
Yeah, so that's a special episode that only has a song. It's all a song, but all the rest of them have dialogue, and then they end in a song. So Unleash Your Inner Skank is actually part of the original.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, okay. It's done in a slightly different style, but it's part of it. In the I believe the name of the episode is Unleash Your Inner Skank.
That would follow. It was one of the things I wasn't sure about, definitely going in, because now this is no offense. One of the things that was concerning me at the beginning of the show was, you know, we were in a bad mood. Not everybody was a singer.
Right.
But by the end of it, that didn't matter. Because the show is so strong, and I'm like, it's about people who can't sing. They're just everyday people who can't sing. So I was wondering if there was music, if it was always a musical, but
yeah,
it transcended music is what I'm saying, Elena.
Oh, well, I'm glad. I'm glad that you felt that way. Absolutely.
No, because I'm, you know, because I could see how somebody who is like a real like musical theater snob, not myself, but just being like, oh my God, this is terrible. Nobody except Elena. She's got a big, big black girl voice, but for a little teeny tiny white girl. And, but like I said, I don't know what I'm saying. You're awesome. Is what I'm saying.
I totally know what you mean. And I mean, personally, I think that aspect of it, I mean, you, in theory, you could cast this show with a bunch of like super vocal divas. But to me, the way that, that it worked meant that, you could relate to the characters a little more in a way, you know, that they really did seem like, even though they all are kind of kooky and have, you know, out of the ordinary issues.
Yes, they do.
They're people that you can still sort of relate to. It makes them seem, you know, more everyday. And I mean, and some of it, like some of the singing sort of improves, I think, as the show goes on.
Yes,
which
it
is,
did.
You
Definitely.
Know, as well as, which is part of what's happening in these people's lives as well, you know,
right.
Is that they're sort of blossoming. So I'm glad that it worked for you too.
Totally. Well, when you told me that you were recording a demo and maybe doing it for, you know, other, having other theaters produce it, I started thinking about them casting it with big, like you said, diva singers, you know, doing their Rent thing and everything. I'm going, that wouldn't be the same to see all these flawed, nervous, scared, imperfect women belting out High C's or whatever, like, oh God, what's, Wicked.
Yeah, yeah. What's your name? Idina Menzel.
Okay. Or... like Idina Menzel. I'm going to edit that like I said that the first time.
Right.
Don't sound stupid.
I mean, yeah, I guess if you were going to do that, you would really need people who could fake the insecurity at the beginning and then, you know, make it. But, and not all of the songs are written in a style that they should be belted out in that way.
No.
One of the things about the show is it's very simple. So, the accompaniment was just a guitar played
guitar
by a
guy.
Wonderful, yeah, guitar boy.
Yeah, oh,
practice guy and guitar boy. We love guitar boy.
He was dreamy.
Yes, yes. Christian Peterson played guitar boy. He is indeed a dreamy individual, and a wonderful guitar player. Wonderful, wonderful. Who he had to do so many things. You know, he had to sing while playing and run around the stage while playing, and he did it all so well, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
So anyhow, yeah, it's just guitar. So some of the songs are like more folky. Some of the songs are like a little bit, you know, have a little bit of a country edge to them. So, so in a sense, the songs aren't even written in this sort of, you know, poppy, typical modern musical theater style that,
right.
That you see a lot these days. Some of them are, but...
some of them are, but no, yeah. But I thought it was just right. I'm just leaving it as I loved it. If it comes back, y'all should fly to New York immediately and see it, is what I'm saying. If you have a regional theater, look this one up if it becomes if it becomes available. Elena, thank you so much for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure. I had so much fun.
Rocky Road for the first time out. You can catch Elena and I in the Ryan Case every Saturday through, I think, November 19th.
19th, yep.
19th, and you can find out all about that at www.liveintheater.com. So we're going to go out on a song. We're going to go out on another song from Mother Eve's Garden of whatever it is.
Mother Eve's Secret Garden of Sensual Sisterhood.
Thank you. And it's called Sweet Cinnamon Bun. And what is this about, Elena? Or will they figure it out?
I think that they will be able to figure it out on their own. It's just, it's about where to get the best advice. We'll put
okay.
It that.
Great. Thank you very much, Elena. I love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
So this week, ladies, I want you to try living life the way so many men do. Instead of thinking with this, I want you to start thinking with this. People like to give advice and tell me what to do. But there's only one voice I like to listen to. It's not my mother or father or a teacher or a nun. She's my mentor and my guide and my sweet cinnamon bun. She knows the way through bush or briar. And this I surely know.
And this she surely knows.
Pussy told me so.
Cause a pussy told her so.
I know when to forgive and when to let go. I don't ever accept the status quo. Every week I've got a new bow. Cause my pussy told me so.
Cause a pussy told her so.
Now get out there, Petals, and see where she leads ya.
It's time for dinner, ugly duckling. I got those fat-free tater tots you like.
Hey, Dad, you know how in the story the ugly duckling eventually becomes a swan? Well, I think I want to be a swan now.
Oh, honey, no matter how old you get, you'll always be my little ugly duckling.
I want to be the swan now.
She whispered in my ear. Not literally, because that's kind of far.
Cause a pussy told her so. We went to a wine bar and we drank Merlot. Cause a pussy's told her so. Cause a pussy's told her so.
I bought this dress at an expensive store. Cause my pussy told me so.
pussy told her so.
I wanted to follow this new hot guy that I like, but my pussy reminded me that I am not supposed to be stalking. So I just stayed home and drew pictures of us and Googled him.
Pussy told us so.
I drive an 85 Eldorado.
I am the world's biggest sloppy
joe. I touch myself while watching Yakuza.
Cause my pussy told me so. Vagina, which is the proper term for that lady part, told me so. Yeah.
Thank you all so much for joining me on this inaugural episode of Drama Queens, the podcast where Broadway gets bent. But you know what? I just found out that the domain Drama Queens with a Z is already taken. It's a web series. So I'm going to have to think of something else. Theater Queens, Show Queens. I'm not happy, but I am happy that you stayed with us for this whole time, and I hope you liked what you heard. If you did, please drop me a line at crew@screamqueens.com. That's Queens with a Z. For now, anyway, I'm not sure what we're going to do with the show yet or where it's going to live. If you enjoyed it, please let me know, and we'll try to continue. Keep checking the website, www.screamqueens.com. That's Queens with a Z. Find out if there's any updates on the whole situation. And if you want to find out more about me, Patrick K. Walsh, you can go head over to www.patrickwalshactor.com. And with that, my friends, I must bid adieu to you till next time. And there will be a next time, one way or another. Because the sun'll come out tomorrow. No, I'm not doing that, or you're never gonna tune back in. Good night, everybody. Thank you.